We want you to do this today, if you will. We're going to ask you to get out of your seat. I know that's maybe a little uncomfortable, but come on down and join us around the table here, the communion table. We want to get a picture here in the center of the sanctuary this morning of all of our veterans. So if you served in the military at any time in your life, come right on. Don't be bashful. Just get up out of your seat right now. Yep, don't hesitate. Come on down. We'll kind of split the crowd up. Member, visitor, guest, all the veterans, anybody served in any branch of the military. If we get half of you on this side and half of you on this side here, kind of divvy it up and kind of surround the communion table here. And we got a microphone today that we're going to hand here, and we're going to start on one end. We'll need to get a few more, if you don't mind, kind of balancing it out and get some more on this side. And yeah, we'll get, I got one. Okay, you're going to use that one? Okay. All right, so why don't you start on that side, Brother Earl, and give us your name, maybe what you served in, what branch of military, and that where you served at, maybe. Go ahead.
71 years ago.
Just hold it close to your mouth.
71 years ago, I spent a couple of years in the military, in the Army, 1953 to 55, and I'm proud to be an American, especially this week.
My name is Bill Cox. I served in the United States Army in 1966 to 68. Ended up in Germany for the full stint. And I'm proud to be an American and a veteran.
My name is Delane Harmon. I served in the U.S. Army 1965 through 1967 during the Vietnam War. I was a military policeman. I love America.
John Moore, I served from 82 to 88, and I spent 3.5 years in Germany. I was in air defense.
Steve Simmons, I served from 1970 to 76 in the U.S. Army.
Arthur Anderson, wait. I served 4 years in the National Guard.
Neil Hoffman, I served in the United States Marine Corps. Today is the 249th birthday of the United States Marine Corps. I served from 1960 to 1964.
Derek Hoffman, I served the U.S. Army from 95 to 98.
Bill Wilson, United States Navy. A lot of our boys, when we graduated from high school, the bus came up, took them all off, and they didn't have a chance to call home. They went to Korea and all got shot down in Pusan Reservoir. But I was fortunate. God worked with me. Thank you.
Jim Bright, I was in the United States Army, 1966 to 68. I served in Germany.
Robert Smith, Navy, 74.
That's it.
Teresa McGannum, United States Air Force, 1984 to 1988.
Jovan Ostrout, U.S. Navy, 2004-2009. Last duty station was 5th Fleet.
Sue Van Osterhau, I was in the United States Navy 2003 to 2009.
Randy Yo, I served the U.S. Army in Europe, in Germany, 85 to 88.
Bob Wilcox, served from 72 to 74. Somebody had to back up the Marines.
Good luck with that, Bob. I'm Steve Schramm, U.S. Navy, 1966 to 69. Proudly served Westpac with the USS Hull.
Amen. Okay, don't leave. Stay right here. Tammy, you need him to squeeze in? We got a little bit longer line over here. I don't know if two or three or four of you can slip to this other side or somehow. We just need to even it out. She wants to get a picture here in the center. There we go. Kind of get them out. I'm going to get out of here, but kind of just kind of squeeze in. So, Tammy, just squeeze them in where you want them. All right, guys, thank you. Ladies, give him a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for our veterans, and thank the Lord for their service to our great country. At this time, if you have any children in Children's Church, they're free to head out one of the aisles and get over to Children's Church. But, yeah, praise the Lord for our American military and those that are serving, those that have served, and those that are serving yet today. So thank you for your service to our great country. At this time, let's take our Bibles and open them to the book of Philippians, if you will. We're going to take a few minutes this morning to share some things with you. You know that when you think about this great country that we live in, thank the Lord for our military that has stood faithful and true and protected our freedoms down through these years. And we have so much to be thankful for as we watched this week unfold and take place. I can think of two times in my lifetime that really kind of stood out. One that we're living through right now, but I remember very vividly during those years that were leading up to 1980, 1984, when our country, when we prayed for across our nation, got on our knees and prayed for God that you would help our country to move forward, get us on the right path, on the right trajectory. We need somebody to lead our country, lead our nation. And God gave us a man of all things, a person out of California by the name of Ronald Reagan. And I remember those years, and it was the exact person to be put into place to be able to lead our country through treacherous times and challenging times, and made a tremendous difference in American history. I think we found ourselves again where our country has gone into a moral decline. A lot of things begin to happen with issues on illegal immigration and crime across our country and inflation at an all-time high and transgender issues in our society. And like Ron said a moment ago, men and women's sorts and other issues and challenges, but just really to see the moral decay in our country. And I think really what has happened, my observation this week and taking a look in that is, I don't know about you, but my first thought was, thank God for God to put his hand and intervene in all that's going on. And the American, yeah, give God, because all the honor and glory goes to him. And that we ask God, beg God to get involved and to lead and to somehow lead our nation back to the right path, the right trajectory, to put us on the right course. Now, I don't know. One election's not going to do that all, but it's a start in the right direction. And I think the American people this week, from what I saw, was 70% of our nation, 70% of our nation was saying that America was on the wrong trajectory, was on the wrong path, headed in the wrong direction. And I think you can see that by the electoral votes in the counting of, 312 to 226. And so we're praying for the new leadership and President Trump that will be coming into office. We pray for President Biden that's currently in office. We pray for those elected leaders that will be coming in, support leadership team around him. We pray for things in our country and in our nation and in our world that we live in, that God will have his hand upon America and upon the nation of Israel. So I titled the message today, Count Your Blessings. And Philippians is chapter 4. I want to share this text of thought. I don't know about you, but I think it was a good week to stop, take pause, time and time again to say, God, thank you most of all for you. Thank you most of all for your sovereignty, for your hand, and for your leadership, and pray that America's trajectory going forward will be on the right path, the right direction, and our grandchildren and the future of our nation, and that depends strongly upon that. But we have much to be thankful for. Paul here in Philippians 4, he had much to be thankful for. And we're going to look at some verses here in Philippians 4, but I want you to look at that first verse in Philippians chapter 1 on counting your blessings. I'd love to take a microphone today and go up and down every pew and say, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? And what are you thankful for? And all of you, you'd have many of you would have different responses that you could give today, but we have much that we can all be thankful for today. Paul addresses some of this, and I think one of the first things is, in Philippians 1:1, Paul starts out the chapter. He says, Paul and Timotheus here, the servants of Jesus Christ. Then he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, and the bishops and the deacons. The part I want you to see there is to all the saints in Christ Jesus. And I think the first blessing that you and I for sure got to go to today is to realize that we are blessed of God to be able to know Him, that we have a God that we can have confidence in Him, that we can be saved and born again and saved by the blood of Christ. And the word here that Paul used in this verse is used here many times in the Word of God. It suggests that our position is in Christ. Our position is in the Word of God. Our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it really divides, if you will, when you think about this here, the world into two things. And I said this going into the election and that, but I say that even more so now today. And I think the battle still goes on. We're in a battle today between God and Satan. That's the bigger picture. Today, as Satan goes to and fro up and down this land, seeking whom he can devour. And we know he's the prince and power of the air. It's a battle of all battles, the battle between good and evil. And if you trickle down from that, it involves nations, it involves leaders, it involves people, it involves so many things across the spectrum. And I don't know about you, but I think in counting our blessing today, the first thing I would put on the list in Philippians 1 is the fact that you and I can be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Thank God today that you and I have the privilege to know Him. Thank God today that that we know here in the Scripture that God really puts people into two classes. And you know, really, if you think about it, one of the things that we've noticed here lately, at least it seems like it's so obvious, is how the country so many have tried to divide the country, divide it by racism, divide it by, whatever class or whatever segment you want to look at. God doesn't do that. When you look at it in the Scripture, God does put it in two separate classes here. One is you're either saved or you're lost. That God is either your father or you're still, the Bible says, a child of the devil. You cannot have two fathers. You got either one or the other. And so thank God today that one of our blessings we can count on is that we're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you know Him today. And otherwise, I don't know how you would navigate through the days that we go through without our salvation. Look, if you will, in Philippians 4. And then Paul goes on to say here in Philippians and verse 1, but I want you to focus on verse 4 here in a moment, says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, talking to the church at Philippi, he says, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved, he said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, with other my fellow helpers, whose names are written in the book of life. And then secondly here is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So I would say to you today that in counting our blessings today, that not only should we count our blessings as being saved as the most important and first and foremost, but secondly, is that you and I can praise the Lord and rejoice no matter what happens. You know, elections come and go. Sometimes it might be your candidate that gets into office and sometimes it may not. But even in those years that it's not your candidate that gets into office, we still, as believers, should rejoice and we have a lot to praise God for and a lot to thank Him for. And we find that here that Paul is saying here to this church at Philippi, rejoice. And if the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, if the Lord Jesus Christ has regenerated us, if He's given us new hope in life, that for the believer, our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life, and we have occasion to rejoice with joy unspeakable the Bible says, and full of glory. And so he says here, notice that he says a few things interesting to the church there at Philippi. Stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Be firm in your faith. Don't waver, don't quiver. Stand faithful and true unto him. And no matter what you're going to be able to go through, always to be able to rejoice. Things are always not going to go the way you and I want it to go. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But still, we ought to rejoice and to praise the Lord, because God is still on the throne in the good times and in the bad. So I think in counting our blessings, we have a lot to rejoice and a lot to thank the Lord for, and a lot to praise his name over. If you will, beginning in verse 5 and verse 6 and verse 7 here, it's interesting here he talks about the secret here and having peace with God. And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men, that the Lord is at hand. And then he simply says here, be careful for nothing, but in every prayer and everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I think importantly here that we see the in verse 6, the important part is prayer. I know going into this part of the time of the year, and so much going on, so much at stake, that around our country and around our nation, has been bathed in prayer, that God, that you would have your hand and your direction upon all that's going on. So thanks be unto him when you look here. And one of the things that we can rejoice in, that as a believer, as a Christian, as a born-again, saved, Bible-believing Christian, that you and I have the opportunity of prayer, that we can go to our Heavenly Father. Whatever is weighing you down, whatever is burdensome to you, whatever is the weight upon your heart, you can go to your Heavenly Father and take that prayer and that prayer request unto him. Not only that, prayer is far more than that. Prayer is communication. Prayer is opening your heart to him. Prayer is knowing that every day that you get up, that you don't walk that day alone. Prayer is every day of getting up and communicating intimately with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would nurture that, you would value that, that you would realize that's a blessing that you and I have. Think about this today. If you don't know God, if you don't know him, and the Bible simply says that, who would you pray to? I know there are many out there that would still pray, but our Heavenly Father, because of our relationship to him, because of being born again, because he is our Father, we are his children, that we can go to him in prayer, the power of prayer. Prayer is really the blessing for you and I to have as a child of God. So whatever you come through that door with today, whatever's on your heart, whatever weighs you down, whatever burdens your heart and your soul, you ought to be lifting that up to the Lord in prayer and to realize how important that is and what a comfort it is to know that we can commit everything to him in prayer and to realize that we have the privilege of trusting him for all things. Let me show you a verse. Go over to Psalm 37. Hang on to Philippians there, but over in Psalm 37, a great verse that you ought to highlight. We've been spending a little bit of time on Wednesday nights in the book of Psalms. But you get in Psalm chapter 37 down to verse 5, well, really verse 3, verse 3, 4, and 5, says, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The Bible also tells you and I that we have no idea what God has in store for us. For those that have committed their life to Christ, those that have walked with him and fellowshiped with him, and that God will pour out his blessings upon you. So we ought to delight ourselves in the Lord, and the Bible simply says he will give us the desires of thine heart. If you delight yourself in the Lord, let me ask you today, what are the desires of your heart today? That's what we ought to be praying for. That's what we ought to be asking God for. And then he says here, not only do we should delight ourselves in the Lord, but we ought to commit our way unto the Lord and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, politicians are not going to bring all the answers that you and I need. We know that God will, and our faith should be in him. And to realize today, I want to show you something that's really, really important that you should not lose sight of. Hang on to Philippians, but go to Romans 13, today because we've just had a change in America. And I know right now the call always comes out for unity and harmony. Let me just say this. God is not the author of confusion. If there's confusion in our society, it's of Satan. And Satan would love to destroy, love to tear down. But, you know, God established government for a purpose. And I want you to see that in the Bible today. And here's what that he says in relation to government. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I want you to think about that, because the power, really, ultimate power, does not lie in Washington, D.C. It lies by God Almighty, and God can take it away just as easy as he can give it. And it says here that the powers that be are ordained of God, that whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers, now notice this now in the Bible, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Government was set up, ordained of God, to be able to hold back the tide, to be able to hold back in our society that which is evil, that which is corrupt, that which is not good for the human race. He says here, talking about those in charge in government in verse 4, he is the minister of God to thee for good. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Government has always been ordained of God, given power of God to do good in our society and in the environment in which we live. And it says here, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore at all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's go back to Philippians, if you will. So the thing I want you to see today, that not only our position, counting our blessings today, it's blessed to be saved, to be born again. It's a great blessing to be able to know that we have a Heavenly Father in heaven, that we can pray and pour out our hearts and pray to Him and ask God to intervene in our lives, to intervene in our church, to intervene in our government, to have His hand upon the decision-making. And when God speaks, I think we ought to listen carefully and thank Him for who He is and for what He does. We have the power of prayer. And so we find here Psalm 37, we ought to commit our way unto Him. Then back in Philippians there in that verse 4, 5, 6, and 7 here, verse 7 simply says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You might put one word right there, and that is the word peace. There is no peace without the Prince of Peace. And peace here, the peace of God which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God is a God of peace. You know what will be interesting to see is that we live in a world right now where there's war and rumors of war. What will be interesting to see is under whatever leadership is in America and the allied nations around the world, if they can get a handle and bring peace to our world that we live in. We have wars going on now, in Russia, Ukraine, and in the Middle East. We need to continue to pray for Israel. Need to pray for those in the middle. Right now, what we do not need is to have a escalated, heated war in the Middle East. By the way, do you know, right here, we just honored our Veterans Day. Right now, as we speak, we've shipped more of our military into the Middle East because of what is going on in the Middle East, both in Gaza, both in the north, both with Hezbollah, both with Iran. And God is a God that can bring ultimate peace, but it really comes down to how our leadership really will handle that throughout the world and the world that we live in. But we ultimately know that the Prince of Peace must come before there's ultimate peace. But the wicked have no peace. Peace comes by Jesus Christ. We know that through the death on the cross of Calvary. To really have peace, to have inner peace, that no matter what goes on in the world we live in, real peace comes from knowing the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 8, verse 9 here. And this is the presence of the God of peace. He says, finally, Paul said, brethren, that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God is a God of peace. And yet I find many times, you ever find times in the Bible, I've had people say to me, well, the Bible talks about wars and people dying and people being killed. And if you look at the battles that were fought, it was really the battles that God fought through his prophets or through his leaders or through his people to evil and corrupt nations and trying to root out the evils of the day. Every generation has had their evils of the day. God is ultimately a God of peace. That's why we know there never will be total peace here on the earth. Until the Lord comes back, and one day then the Prince of Peace will be here, and there will be no more wars, there will be no more rumors of wars that will all go away with, but there always will be those hostilities. But here, peace is so important that we need to pray for peace. Peace here in America, peace in Israel, peace with Russia and Ukraine. Somehow that's got to come to an end, and pray for peace across our world that we live in. Look in verse 9 there, talks about really his presence, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, this do, and the God of peace shall be with you. His presence, the presence of God is with us day by day. The more we turn back to him, that's why I really believe that that verse is so true over in Chronicles, that if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Just stop right there and think about that. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. I really think a lot of that is going on across our nation in the last several weeks, the last several months, and during critical times in our history. I watched it in observation. Many of you watched it in observation also back every time America has hit a very challenging time. Many times they will turn back unto the Lord and thank God that he is always willing and able to respond to us. And his presence we need. In the hour of trouble, in the hour of trials, in the hour of tribulation, he is with us. In the darkest of hour, he's there at all times. Our God had declared that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But he requires us to love him, to obey him. And if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Look, if you will, in verse 13 here. Skip down in verse 13. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible simply says here, I can do, Paul said, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Here's the power that you and I have. We have no power in and of ourselves, but the power that you and I have is through Jesus Christ. So we are nothing in and of ourselves. We're utterly helpless. For without me, he said in John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, for without me ye can do nothing. So the power that we get, the strength that we get, the help that we get comes from him. If anybody won a victory this week, it was God winning a victory through his people to be able to try to put things on the right path to move forward in the battle and in the forces between good and evil in our nation that we live in. And then I love this, how he wraps it all up here in verse 19, that my God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What do you need today? What do we need today? What do we need today? And what we really do need today is we need more of God. We need God in our life. We need him for salvation. We need his presence and power. We need his leading and directing. We need God in our life today to hold back the forces of evil and to stand against and even, if you will, attack evil. When they went into the promised land, God told them to destroy, told Israel to destroy the false gods and the evil things that were in the land. I think America and Christians for sure, that we need to pray that we can be forcefully moving forward, that God is our provision, and move forward in this battle of good against evil. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So the God who provided salvation for you and I and the person of his own son has promised to provide our every need. God will provide whatever you have for a need today if you'll just trust him. So I don't know if you noticed or not, but as I went through these in Philippians today, they all start with a P. And that simply is that the position that we have today, I trust your position is today, that you're positioned in Christ for eternal life. That your position today, that one of these days your home will be in heaven. The second thing was, it started with a P, was praise. We have a lot to be thankful for. Well, this is Thanksgiving time of the year. We're getting ready to go into that time where there's so much to be thankful for, and we ought to praise his holy name for all his goodness and the things that he provides along our way. The third thing that started with a P was prayer, that today it all comes by getting on our knees and praying and seeking his face. And whatever burdens you today, take it to the Lord in prayer. Whatever's on your heart and soul today, take it to him in prayer. If you feel lost or feel challenged today, take it to him in prayer. You have a Heavenly Father that loves you and has a relationship with you, and he wants to hear. He wants you to communicate with him through the power and one of the blessings of prayer. The fourth P was peace. Peace, that only through him we find peace today. And as we turn back to him, we need to pray for the Prince of Peace. And then the fifth P was his presence, that his presence is with us and the God of peace shall be with you. I don't know about you, but it scares me unbelievable to think that God would ever take his hand off, remove his hand, and turn his back and that not make his presence known. That is a scary place to go. You don't want to go there. Nobody. And that's, you know, that's the worst thing I think about hell, is to realize that a person would choose to spend eternity without God, without him, without knowing him, and to realize there's no hope in a place called hell, because there they never will find peace, and there they never will find the presence and the power of God. And that's the sixth P, and that is power, and simply here given to us that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There are no limits. Anything can be conquered. There's no challenge too great, and God allows you and I to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then the last P, the provision. The provision is simply this, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Count your blessings today, my friend. You have many to be thankful for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, today we thank you today that one of the most important blessings that we have is the blessing of salvation. God, I thank you for my salvation. God, I thank you for these that are here today, these that have put their faith and trust and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for that blessing in their life. So God, speak to our hearts today. Maybe perhaps there's one here today is going through a challenging time, and they have no peace. They have no inner peace. And they don't know the Prince of Peace. And God, today, that the Holy Spirit would show them their need for the Savior, and they would open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior of their life. God, save the lost. Convict us of our sin. Draw us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, today, help us to count our blessings, for which we have much to be thankful for. In Jesus' name I pray. With every head bowed today, my friend, if you come to church today and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not sure in that relationship with the Lord Jesus, boy, the greatest thing you can ever do is trust him as your Lord and as your Savior today. Would you do that? Maybe by way of live stream today, if you're not sure you're saved, would you ask Christ to come into your heart today? And if you choose to do that, if you want to do that right where you sit today, just pray this prayer between you and God today. Dear Heavenly Father, I recognize today that I am a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior. God, forgive me of my sin as I repent of my sin and ask Jesus to come into my heart. And with mouth I make confession today, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that I too can have perfect peace and eternal salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today, my friend. If you prayed that today, we'd love to pray with you here at the altar or help you in any way that we can. I don't know what the need is in your heart today, but count your blessings, and this is a good time of the year to realize that we have a gracious and good and loving God today. And if anything good happens, we owe it all to Him. The struggles in life are real. The evils of the world are very much real. And we just need to learn to trust more on Him and to realize, God, we need to hear from You today and trust Him. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. As Brother Ron leads his invitation, we open the altar. If you want to come to pray, you're welcome to come. If I can pray with you, we'd be glad to pray with you today. Whatever the need of your heart. Maybe you just want to come. Thank God for your blessings. Whatever He's bestowed upon you today, be sure to thank Him today. Brother Ron continues to sing with every head bowed. Why don't you take time just to count your blessings right now between you and God, right where you stand. Whatever God lays in your heart, take time right now thanking for those blessings. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just as Ron continues to play, just take a moment to thank Him. God, we thank You for Your blessings, most of all for our salvation, most of all for a peace that passeth all understanding. Oh God, thank You for who You are, making Your presence real, making Your power real. God, help us to love You more and more each and every day. Help us to tackle the struggles and the challenges of life every day that we face, knowing that we can have confidence and faith and trust in You. God, we pray for our leaders in America. Pray You'll help lead us forward in putting You first. Pray for Israel today. God, You'll put Your hand upon them, keep them safe, and may peace come to that region, we pray. Oh God, have Your hand upon all of us as we go forward. Have Your hand upon our families, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. God will be sure to give You all the credit today. In Jesus' name I pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Be seated just for a moment if you would, and follow the bulletin. I think Rachel's in the building here somewhere, and or said she said she would be, and that. But let me just share with you a few of the announcements, and that will... Then be headed out. They gave you the Operation Christmas Child, and if you have any questions, just go by the booth and see them on that. Again, as Brother Ron said, there's a table set up. If you need a ticket, we will go by and get your ticket for the concert. It's just like he said, just a few days away. Golden Agers have a sign-up sheet, if you will, if you want to be a part of the Thanksgiving dinner that they're going to be having on Thursday, November 21st. Go by. That's a potluck, a dish to pass. Make sure you sign up for that and that so you can go by and help us with that. And then also, too, just continue to pray for the other things going on. We have a deacons and officers meeting tomorrow night, and pray for the Bible studies and that which is going on through the week. I don't see Rachel, so you're dismissed. Have a great week. Shake somebody.